Well, today we're on our second message of our series, Storm Chasers. But before we get started, let's pray and ask God to bless it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. We're thankful for what you're doing in our church. Father, we honor you today. We honor your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead and guide this service. Bless the word, Lord God. Open hearts to receive the word. Lord, anoint me to deliver the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of reminders. You know, the connection card, Brian mentioned that. If you will, fill that out. Drop it in that little box on the way out. And on the bottom, there's a special little space in case you need prayer. Every Saturday, we meet here and we pray over these cards. If you have something that you need prayer for, that you have something that an emergency or things going on in your life, please fill that out, and we'll be glad to pray over that on Saturday. And also, the Signs and Wonders Camp's coming up. I'm going to be going with Matt, and we're going to have fun because I get a little dose of the Holy Ghost when I go. So it's time for that. And also, is it June 25th, Nesho? We support a group in Mexico. And they have an orphanage where they help kids, and we're going to be taking up an offering. If you will, it's called The Village. If you give toward that, just put in the memo, The Village, and we'll make sure that money gets to them. They'll be here June 25th. Amen? All right, if you will, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. Today we want to learn about the power of patience. How many of y'all are really good at patience? Waiting. I am not good at patience. And a matter of fact, I don't like the test of patience. You'd think I'd learned my lesson by now, but I haven't. Because I'm in a hurry all the time. How many of y'all are in a hurry all the time? Walk fast. Tanya has to tell me to slow down. But God's teaching me patience. Learning to wait on the Lord. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, it says, "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, the flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God." How many of y'all ever been through the waters, the rivers, the fire? There's all kinds of storms in life. But God says these storms aren't going to overwhelm you. They're not going to overtake you. Remember this, every storm that you go through in life has a divine purpose. Every storm you go through in life has a divine purpose. In other words, God can take what the devil does to you, what people do to you, what things happen to you, he can take that and turn it around for your benefit. God's hand is involved in every storm. Come on, is that good to know? God's hand's involved in every storm. So in the midst of all the things that overwhelm us, he's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. The Bible says that he's going to make a way where there is no way. Amen? How about this in verse 4? It says, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give you people for your exchange, nations in exchange for your life." So God's saying, listen, I'm watching over you because I care about you and I love you, and all these things that happen to you aren't going to overtake you. Here's four things we ought to learn in the storm. The first thing is this. I got four things, then I got four more things. Is that all right? I guess that's eight things, huh, Chris? All right, help me now. Number one, the first thing is do not fear. There are two kinds of fear. We talked about this Wednesday. You're going to have one or the other. You're going to fear God or fear everything else. Fearing God is a healthy fear. Fearing everything else is unhealthy. Matter of fact, Philippians 4, 6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything." In other words, don't worry, don't fear. You know what fear is? Fear is a lack of knowledge. Fear is a lack of knowing who God is. Because if I fear, I'm not trusting. If I fear, I'm not knowing God. Because when you know God, it brings a stability to your life that no matter what happens, you can trust him that you're going to be all right. Because he has your best interest at heart. And even if it isn't all right, and even if everything goes haywire and you end up in heaven, how bad could that be? You know what you call that? You call that a win-win situation. Paul said this. He said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain, so I win. Either way, I win on earth or I win eternally. So if you look at it that way, guess what? You won't get upside down in your situation. Come on, y'all ain't amening me enough. I'm preaching good, I think. Do not fear. Matthew 14, 27, we talked about this when the disciples were in the storm Wednesday. We need to recognize our source of strength in our storm. Jesus said this, and in the midst of the disciples going to the other side, he told them to get in the boat and go to the other side while he prayed, and the waves began to overtake the boat. The Bible says that began to swamp the boat. If you're from Louisiana, you know what a swamp is. Your boat begins to be swamped. But he said, as they were in the midst of the storm, Jesus came walking on the water. How many know that Jesus is the Lord over your storm? The thing that swamps you, he walks on. And he said, do not fear, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. The minute we recognize Jesus in our storm is the minute we lose our fear. You just got to recognize, somebody say you better recognize. You got to recognize who Jesus is. Number two, the second thing, here's a realization I want to slap you upside the head with today. Is that it's not if you're going to go through a storm, but when. This is what the Lord said in Isaiah 43. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The worm has turned. You're not going to be overwhelmed, but God wants you to know you're going to go through trouble. Jesus promised us in John 16, 33, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And that word trouble means calamities. You know what calamities are? Things that are overwhelming you beyond your power to be able to control. There are things in life that happened to me, that have happened to me, that have knocked the breath out of me. What do you do, Pastor, when life comes along and kicks you in your gut? How many of y'all have had the breath knocked out of you physically? That is a scary feeling. But you know what? You're going to get it back. You get it back eventually. At that moment, when it happens, it's a very uncomfortable thing, but you're going to get your breath back. So it's not if you go through storms, it's when. But the comforting thing that God spoke to us is that when we go through the storms, I'm going to be with you. So it's not if, but when. Number three, every storm you go through will not destroy you, but deepen you. Enlargement occurs only through things that overwhelm you. You better be careful for asking God to enlarge you. Because stretching is uncomfortable. Stretching will increase your capacity, but it's going to hurt. The storm will not destroy you, but deepen you. Every new storm will result in new strength. I'm telling you, every time we have weathered a storm, Tanya and I, every time we've weathered a storm and come through it together, can I just help you a little bit? especially if you're married, learn to lean on your spouse. They're not your source. I'm not saying they're your source. Jesus is your source. But God has given us in our partnership with our spouse, the power of agreement should be there already. And there's something about us when we go through storms, when we come, I've learned this, the enemy wants us to turn on one another in a storm. But if you'll just yoke up together, God will give you supernatural strength in agreement to overcome your storm. Amen? Learn to lean on your spouse. This storm has not come to destroy you, but deepen you. New storm equals new strength. And the fourth thing we need to realize is that God really, 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 really cares about you. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, the Lord said, and because I love you, I'm telling you, everything that God does for you is because he loves you and you're precious. Don't think of yourself anything less than what God thinks of you. Learn that in the storm. Isaiah 40:31 says this, we ought to wait on the Lord. It says, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And another word for wait in the NIV is hope. You can't wait. Listen to this. Here's a good secret. You ready? You'll never wait right if you don't hope. You can't wait if you don't have hope. If you don't have hope in your waiting, you'll do something very out of character and rash. You got to have hope in the Lord as you wait. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. As you wait, divine ability will come. Divine strength will come. What is divine grace will come. The God of all grace. That word grace, we love the... We know a good definition of grace is that it's unmerited favor. Of course it is. Because without grace, you'd never be saved. But it's more than just unmerited favor, thing you don't deserve. Because once you get saved, it turns into divine strength, divine ability. God transfers the grace that got you saved into something that gives you a capacity to overcome. Divine strength, divine ability. And there's nothing that can overwhelm or overtake you because God gives you his grace. Learning to wait on the Lord. There's a transition that occurs. I'm telling you, waiting is uncomfortable. But when God kicks in and the grace of God kicks in, you become another person to overcome and not be overcome. Amen. Read that, let it sink in. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You see, God has a plan in your waiting. And it's to renew you. It's for you to catch your second wind. So you can begin to overcome and not be overwhelmed. Number one, let's look at four more things to learn in the storm. I like to tell this to people. I find myself a lot of times when storms come, we want to react. Don't be a reactor. Don't be a reactor. Number one, here's the first point. You ready? Hold up. Wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Don't do something rash. Don't do something out of character. Don't do something that reacts. I'm a reactor by nature. How many of y'all are reactors by nature? I'm kind of volatile. Not anymore. Not like I used to be. But I'm like a stick of dynamite with a short fuse. I might go off at any minute. But I've learned, the Bible says this, that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So I've learned if I want God's stuff in God's way, I need to hold up and wait a minute. Instead of becoming a reactor to the situation, I just step back, take a deep breath. Not every time, Tanya will tell you that. But I've learned as I've gotten older just to, you don't have to make a decision right now. Can I just help you a little bit? What you're going through may be bad, but I'll promise you this, it's not that bad. Things are never as bad as they first seem. I heard Troy Aikman say this one time. North Turner was the offensive coordinator, Dallas Cowboys. There you go, Richie. I couldn't find a Sean Payton quote, so I had to use. But Troy Aikman said this. North Turner said, learn how to live a life of balance. He said, because things are never as good as they seem, nor are they as bad as they seem. So if we'll just learn that things aren't so bad. It may be terrible at the time, but I've learned the initial blow softens as time goes by. And some of the hardest things that I had to learn through something that hurt me really bad helped me a lot in the future. God turns your horrible place into a holy place. So just hold up. Wait a minute. Learn to wait. Don't be a reactor. Be a responder, because things aren't really as bad as you think they are. If you don't trust God, you'll never wait. Waiting mode, remember this, waiting mode in the Lord is always strengthening mode. Waiting mode, it's kind of like your computer when it's rebooting. It's powering up. Come on, while you're waiting, God's empowering you. God's in renewing mode. I'm going to say a couple things that I need to say. I've never been defeated in anything in my life where I wasn't in the will of God that didn't turn into a victory. Even my bad times became good times. Even the worst things that happened to me. Matter of fact, the worst things that happened to us in our life a lot of times turned out to be the best things that could have happened to us. Because it's in those times where we, number one, we find out who God is. Number two, we really find out who we are. And number three, we get things that we never would have got before. Come on, that's good preaching. Amen, Pastor. I'm going to amen myself. So just hold up, wait a minute. Look at your neighbor and say, just wait a minute. Here's a good thing to learn. Number two, learn the after you have principle. After you have, what does that mean, Pastor? Look at 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You know, that would have been a great scripture. You just took out that one little phrase, after you have suffered a little while. But learn the after you have suffered a little while principle. That the point of the thing that you're going through is not that you suffer. There's got to be a purpose in the suffering. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. See, the cross wasn't the point. It was the purpose in the point. It was the purpose in the cross. It was something beyond the cross. The cross was a key to something greater. After Jesus suffered on the cross, guess what? All heaven broke loose. Yeah, it looked over, but he had to go through the cross so that there could be a resurrection. To learn the after you have principle. There's going to be things that are horrendous and hard, but God has a plan in the horrendousness of what you're going through. That after you have suffered a little while, will himself, come on, restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I'll tell you right now, God uses storms to stabilize your instabilities. God uses storms in my life to shake out some things that don't need to be there. I'm not a storm chaser. I know the name of this message is storm chaser, but I don't like storms enough to chase. But storms find me. They got to find you. Storms have to find us. Because it's storms that reveal the cracks in our foundation. And when they reveal the cracks in your foundation, you can do one of two things. You can neglect your foundation cracks, and they can become canyons. Or you can address them and let God fill them, and you can stabilize yourself, strengthen yourself, be steadfast and firm because you yielded to the Lord. The God of all grace, I love that, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. You see, God has a plan. He wants to give you grace. He's called you, but you're going to have to suffer a little while so that he can restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. King James Version says, so he can make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Come on. Number three, the third thing you need to realize in the storm is that God has everything you need, and he will equip you with what you need. The God of all grace. You know what? I've learned this, the secret of going through a storm. One of the secrets is this. I've learned never to ask God why, but what. In your storm, learn to ask God what, not why. What are you trying to teach me? What is it that I need? Not, oh, why is this happening to me? Why did I deserve this? I didn't deserve this. No, it's not that you deserve it, it's you need it. James said, think it not strange the fiery trial you're going through as though something strange is happening to you. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work. So you might be whole, might be mature, lacking nothing. You see, God's got a plan, and his plan is, can I just help you? To grow you up. He's got everything you need to equip you. And the fourth key to going through the storm is this. You handle a storm through humility. Heroes of faith said that the people that were commended by faith, they didn't receive the promise. Since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. They humbled themselves. They yielded themselves to God. The greatest way to go through a storm, how many of y'all ever swam in a river? I grew up in Grangeville, Louisiana. Nobody knows where that is. But there's a river called the Amite River that goes through it. It separates St. Helena Parish from East Feliciana Parish. And we would swim in the river. And I learned this a long time ago. It's a lot easier to swim with the river than to fight against the river. And then when you got in trouble, just turn and swim with the current. Some of y'all are fighting against the current. God says you just need to yield. Trust God. You handle storms through humility. To be humble means to let go of your will and give it to God. Humility. 1 Peter 5, 6 and verse 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. When you fight in the storm, you will lose. Just relegate yourself losing yourself immediately. You remember when Paul was going on his way to kill Christians, thought he was doing God's will, and Jesus met him there, and he said, Paul, he said, what are you doing? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, or it's hard for you to fight against my will. Learn to yield to God even in the storm. Learn to swim with the current. Because if you fight against the current, you're going to lose. Instead of fighting and losing, just lose. Just lose. Just say, I've done this so many times in my life, I've learned. There's a great scripture that says, fall on the rock and be broken, or let the rock fall on you and be pulverized into a powder. I've just learned to fall on the rock. And when things are going haywire, and I just say, Lord, I yield. Whatever you want to do in this thing, I yield to you. Not my will, but your will be done. And I've learned this, that when I do that, God's faithful. Psalm 34, 15 through 19 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from all the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Come on. Bow our heads and close our eyes today. How many of y'all say, Pastor, I'm going through some troubled times in my life. I need some grace. Anybody? Come on, amen, amen. Come on, anybody else? Amen, amen. Come on, we're going to pray the grace of God, infusion of grace today. Before we do that, we're going to pray that, but I want to ask, is there anyone here to say, Pastor, I need to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of my life. I can remember, you know, this is your time. You think you might have came here because somebody invited you, but God got you here because he loves you. And today is your day. I can remember when I got saved, it was my time. The timing of God. There's something supernatural about God's timing. When I was I was living my life, playing football in college, doing my thing. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit arrested me because it was my time. This is your time. Today's your day. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Is anyone here would say, I need to make a decision today? If you would raise your hand. Anyone? All right, I'm going to pray for you now. When we get through praying, I'm going to dismiss you, and we're going to have prayer teams up here to pray for you. If y'all have specific needs you need prayer for, come on, let's agree together for the grace of God in our storm. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we commit to stop swimming against the current, to stop fighting against the will of God. And we yield ourselves in the midst of this hecticness that we're going through. We yield and we trust. And we ask for divine strength, the grace of God, the God of all grace, to be released into our lives. Father, forgive us for asking why. Give us wisdom, Lord God, to ask what are you desiring to do in me so that you can do something through me. Father, I loose that over your people right now. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, what the enemy's meant for destruction and speaking over our minds, we nullify that right now in the name of Jesus. And we loose the great grace of God in this season. In Jesus' name, Lord, we know you're going to turn our horrible place into a holy place. In Jesus' name.